we appreciate all of you being here. I mean, it's our Pioneer Day, you know, so that's why you see us dressed a little bit different. And we appreciate that. That came to me a while back that maybe once we put this on Facebook and whatever, that people feel more comfortable about being in the midst of a small group of people that love each other. And I think that's good. God's been doing some good things with us, huh? He's been bringing us into a wisdom and understanding of him that's much better than what it used to be in years past. There is so much that's going on in the heart and in the mind. I like to tell people that thoughts and words are spirit. We know that. When you think and when you speak, really it's a spiritual thing. And so thoughts and words are spirit. People don't realize that. Can't you feel a spirit sometimes when someone talks to you a certain way? Oh, you can feel it, can't you? Thoughts and words are spirit. Sometimes when people think, the expression on their face, their countenance changes, doesn't it? And you can tell something's going on then, huh? It's funny how that works. But thoughts and words are spirit. I really appreciate my good buddy and my friend Mark being here. We've been friends for 56 years. Gosh, this is 2026. 56. Yeah. And he's always giving me a hard time. So, but we love each other. We've had when we were in the Marine Corps, we wouldn't have said terms like that, you know. But it's been over the years we've got to the point we're pretty comfortable saying stuff like that. But you know what? That's what Jesus used to say all the time, didn't he? He would tell people he loved them. The love of the Father, all of that would work. It's a cool thing. Chris has been on my mind. I don't know why. He's been on my mind so much lately. I'm talking about the last few days. And so I may have to send him another text, you know. But he's been on my mind so much. But I have been praying for him. And we're just going to ask the Lord to continue to bless him. Mark is doing so good. And it's going to encourage other people. We have several people going through the same thing. And I appreciate prayer. Prayer is a big thing. People say, well, how big can prayer be? What if I told you prayer to the Creator blesses us to the point where the Creator intervenes in our lives? And would you say, wait a minute, you mean the Creator of the ends of the earth, the universe, all the universes, everything? He cares about you? Yeah. I love that thought. I love the thought that I'm nothing in this world, but guess what? He cares about me, and he knows all things, so that's a pretty powerful thing, huh? And if he cares about you, then you got it made, if God cares about you. So I wanted to talk to you. We're still talking about the wilderness, and it's very important that there are things that are happening all the time in the wilderness. Now, let's explain this. We talk about wilderness and people think we're talking about the desert out here that's around, you know, Yuma, and where the coyotes are and where the scorpions are, whatever. And I'm not talking about that wilderness. The wilderness that Jesus talks about in his word is right here. It's in your mind. There is a wilderness. Jesus was driven out into the wilderness to do what? To face the devil, wasn't it? And he faced the devil. Now, there's something we need to read. If somebody could read it for me. I think it's Mark chapter 1, and I think it's verse 12 or 13. Start at 12, and let's see what that says. 12 or 13. I want you to see the conditions that were out in the wilderness when Jesus was there. I think it's Mark 1, 112 or 113.
And immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness. And he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered unto him.
Wow, that's the part I need right there. So he was out there, Satan was tempting him, 40 days. I don't think people realize what he went through during that time, 40 days. And then he said he was out there with the wild beasts. You know, so if we're talking about here, are we talking about the beasts we think about here in this world? Or are we talking about those spirits and things that come against us while we're out there? What about that beast that's mentioned in the 13th chapter of Revelation? That's a spiritual being, isn't it? And that's what attacks us at times. Where people don't believe there's such things as spirits. But I know there's a spirit. There's a spirit of murder, a spirit of pride, a spirit of distrust, a spirit of anger, a spirit of wrath. There's all kinds of spirits. And sometimes we see them take charge in our life, and we manifest what that thing does when it joins itself to us. Not a good thing. But this is where we need to discern things in the wilderness. So the wilderness is actually here. The wilderness is within you. The things that we talk about here concerning the earth and the wilderness and so forth, they're within a man. They're not outside of a man. They're in a man. I need somebody to look up another scripture for me. I think it's Matthew 15:19. And look at how this reads, Matthew 15:19. We keep thinking that we get stuff from outside of us coming into us. This is going to let us know it's not that way. It comes from in us, out. It's already in our heart. So what does it say, Matthew 15:19?
For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts.
Wait a minute, stop. Out of the what? Out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts. Are we talking about this thing beating in our chest? Or are we talking about our consciousness? Yeah, our consciousness, where we think, whatever. So read it again, Seth.
For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man.
Well, see, that's what the Pharisees were doing. They were saying, your disciples are eating with unwashed hands, and that's going to cause some problems and all of this. Jesus said, psh, that's not the problem, guys. That's just an earthly thing here. You got dirty hands, whatever. But he said, what comes out of the heart, that's what's going to defile a man. What comes out of his thinking, what comes out of his consciousness. You see how that works? Remember, I told you this is a spiritual thing. That's what defiles a man, is what comes out of him. So does what's in him needs to be changed, Ceci? Does it have to be changed? The inner man. So we were just talking this morning about the old man. Some people say, well, what's the old man? Scripture says in the fourth chapter of Ephesians that he's a spiritual being inside of us that's full of corruption, deceitful lusts, things like that. That's the thing that we follow when we don't know God. And it brings us into a lot of trouble. We can get offense from people. All kinds of things happen that makes division among families and whatever. The old man can tear a lot of things up. Well, we're recognizing him now, right? We're recognizing how those thoughts work. We're recognizing how they work in us. And so we've come to the point where we can discern that old man and stop him. But guess where all that's going to take place? In your wilderness. There's a lot of things you learn in the wilderness. Jesus was tempted in the wilderness and overcame the adversary. But remember that scripture I had Seth read for 40 days. What do you think that 40 days was that he was being tempted of the devil? He was being tempted of everything that we have to go through temptation in for that 40 days. Then he went into the spiritual temptation for being the Son of God that Satan tried to put him into. See the difference between the two? So he experienced everything that we experience in us. What does the scripture say? He was tempted at all points like as we are, yet without sin. Everything that we go through, we can't look at Jesus and say, well, Lord, you don't know what I'm going through. He'll laugh at you. I went through everything and then some, just so I can relate to you, just so I can say, I know what you're going through. So if he knows that, do you think he has a way to help us to overcome those things that overcome us, that take us into a cruel captivity? Do you think he has a way of overcoming those things? There was I like to say it this way. There was a thing that we were watching, and bear with me. I'm going to go through this a little bit. We were watching on TV, and there was people put their hope so much in the flesh. Let me say this first. There are two fleshes, right? This we call flesh, don't we? Gary calls it a what? An avatar. This is just an avatar because really you're a spiritual being wrapped in flesh. But there's two fleshes. There's the flesh that we call this stuff, and then there's the flesh that's the mindset, a mindset of flesh, okay? The one the Bible talks about is the mindset. Everybody goes through things alike here in this thing right here. Don't we suffer pain? We sure know when it's hot here in Arizona, don't we? We can feel all that stuff right here in this, right? Sometimes we get sicknesses and diseases and stuff in this flesh, and it's common to every man. I want to say this. Some people say, and I've heard religious people say this, say, oh, we shouldn't have to deal with any of those things. We shouldn't have to deal with all because we're following after Jesus. Liar. Actually, Jesus says just the opposite. Yeah, have you ever heard people say, come to Jesus and everything's going to be fine. He'll cure everything that you got going on. Everything. That's religion speaking. I'm going to tell you this. Religion is mentioned 5 times in the Bible. And it's always spoken of in a bad light. The time that it's not spoken of in such a bad light is James chapter 1. Now, let's go to that. Let's go to James chapter 1 and read verse, I think it's 26 and 27. Let's see what that says.
If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain.
Read that one more time, Terry. Read it a little bit louder.
If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain.
Now read the next one.
Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their afflictions and to keep himself unspotted from the world.
Wow. So when a man thinks, his tongue will start speaking a certain way. If he thinks he has religion, right? And it's a vain religion. Do we run into vain religion all the time in this world? All the time. So they get the two fleshes mixed up. So there was something we used to say. This is very simple, but I want you to think about it. Two farmers, they both have farms, right? And what did the scripture tell us? It says God will rain on the just as well as the unjust. Well, that has a twofold meaning here. So the two farmers, so one says, I know God. So, you know, I want God to rain on my crop, right? And I don't want them to rain on the other guy's crop because I want to show the difference that I know God, right? That's not good, is it? God says he rains on the just as well as the unjust. I don't care if he's an evil farmer. God sends rain to everybody. It's going to be that. All that's going to work. You see how it works? So, but we have people that say, oh, no, it shouldn't be that way. God should make a special thing for people that serve him. No, when we live in this flesh, and in this earth right here, we all suffer things alike. I'm going to tell you something. I know a lot of people, fellow veterans like me, exposed to that Agent Orange. We all came back with type 2 diabetes. What are you going to do with that? You just deal with it. You know, there are people that have heart disease. There are people that have cancer. There are people that have all kinds of things going on with them, right? But my thing is, no matter what happens to you, hold on to God. Don't pray for him to pull you out of something that he's allowing you to experience. Why do you think maybe he might be doing that? Why? Why would that happen to me, what I spoke about, and not happen to somebody else? Everybody has to go through something. We're not exempt from this thing. I was looking at a thing on TV. And it came back to my mind again because somebody else spoke this. Back in 2011, I'm just going to tell you this little story. Back in 2011, and a lot of you know this guy's name that I'm going to mention, Benny Hinn had a crusade in Las Vegas, you know, and it was a healing crusade. And so during that 4 days or whatever they was there, I think there was 23 people supposedly that got a miracle healing. Okay? And he did something else during that time. I thought it was so hypocritical. I'm talking against religion, in case you haven't figured out yet. he did something so hypocritical. All the people that came to the meeting in wheelchairs, he had his assistants give him a tag. They give half the tag to the person, take their wheelchair and put the other tag on the wheelchair, and then take the wheelchair up and put it on the stage. And then they did whoever came like that. And he didn't say anything specifically about the wheelchairs, but he said this. He said, God is already starting to heal here. And he would put his arm toward the wheelchairs that are up on the stage. And then what happened after the meeting was over, the person had their reclaim tag, they could give it back to the person they took it from. But they never mentioned what all of that was intervening. Did you know who found this out? Some investigative reporters that did a story on his crusade. And they asked him, why did you do that? Oh, we're just keeping the wheelchair. He said, no, that's not what you did. You put your hand toward it and said God was already performing miracles. Catch what I just said. You don't have to be a hypocrite. You don't have to be false. Do you know that there are false healers, false teachers, false prophets, false pastors in this world? And so he had the people come up on stage. Of those 23 people, they did an investigative report, I think it was 4 months later, to go back and talk to the people that said they were healed. Now, it wasn't so much that they said they were healed. You know what Benny would tell them? Say you're healed. And the blind person came there, say you can see. And the person that was lame, say you can walk. And the person that was deaf, say you can hear. He would tell them that. Come on, give your testimony. Say that. And sometimes they put so much pressure on you at the time that stuff is happening that you will speak something that's false. I've seen it. I've seen it with my own eyes. And that's what religion does. It's hypocritical. Will you face religion in the wilderness? How many of you still have religious thoughts from things that you were trained in religion as you were growing up? I still have some religious thoughts I have to get rid of. And you know who's showing me what those thoughts are like? God is. Every time I have one of those things like that, God shows me something. And so some people say, well, I was never raised in any religion. I wasn't Pentecostal or Baptist or Methodist or anything like that. Guess what? What you thought about God, that was your religion. That's as simple as that. What you thought about God, that's your religion. So it doesn't have to have a name to it. What it is how you think about God. And what happened was, think about this. All of those people that came forward, they did that recheck 4 months later, and this is the sad thing. There was a mother and her son. The son had cancer. It was right on the edge, fourth stage. And the mother had heart disease. Within 4 months, both of them died. Both. That's what this investigative reporter went and found afterwards. Yet, Benny said they were healed and told them to say they were healed. Do you catch where I'm going with this? Is that a walk in the wilderness when you still believe in religion like that? Remember, everything's going to happen to everybody alike. I've had two operations in the last year. I'm going to have two more in the next month. And so those things happen. It's as simple as that. God's not going to pull Kenny up and put him over here and say, you don't have to go through that because you serve me. That's not how it's going to work. Time and chance happen to us all. There's things that every one of us is going to experience, right? But here's the thing, guys. Do you want to go through it alone or do you want to be in it in Christ? In your walk in the wilderness, there are going to be things you're going to face. You're going to face wild beasts just like Jesus did. You're going to face what? All kinds of temptations. What else are you going to face? Sicknesses, diseases, death even, you're going to have to face. It's powerful. But what is God doing this whole time when you're in the wilderness? He's helping you to discern what's true and what's not true, what's false and what's true in God. Or you have false pastors, false teachers, false healers. They're liars. But guess what? There is a true. If there's a false somewhere, there's got to be a true. And guess what? We found out we're serving the true God, huh? That God can bless us in the midst of our circumstances. He said, in the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. My wife and I were listening to a thing yesterday on the radio where a guy says, man, you got to listen to the voice of God. You do. But how do we know the voice of God when we have so many other voices going on in our head, right? Let me tell you something. That happened to me. That's my testimony. I was sitting up on a pulpit one time, and God spoke to me right here. And I heard the voice. Of course, I didn't know it was the voice of God then. I heard this voice said, go. So I asked the guy sitting next to me, I said, what are you talking about? Go, whatever. He said, I didn't say anything to you. I said, okay. So I'm going back. I'm sitting back there listening. Some guy standing up teaching, whatever. I hear it again, more emphatic, go. And so I asked the guy on the other side of me. This next time I said, wait. Did you say something to me? I didn't say a word to you. I didn't say anything to you. I said, well, now this is strange. You know, you start getting it. Then I heard it the third time. And the third time it was very emphatic and it was very loud. And it said, go. And I realized I heard the voice of God. And I just busted out crying. I couldn't believe it. You know what came to me? Can somebody tell me what came to me? What came to me that's in the Word that's like that? Samuel. Remember? Remember Samuel was a little kid, but he was with Eli. He was learning how to be a priest. Remember? And he heard a voice. And he got up and went to Eli and said, thou callest me? He said, I didn't call you. He said, go back to sleep. Goes back to sleep. Second time, he hears a voice again. He gets up and goes, surely you called me, didn't you? Go back to sleep. He goes back to sleep. Third time, voice is more emphatic this time, just like it was with me. Went back to Eli, the priest, the high priest. Said, you called me. He said, no. But he said, I'm going to tell you what to do next time, Samuel. The next time you hear the voice, say, yes, Lord, thy servant is ready. Thy servant will hear. He heard it again, and then God spoke to him. And guess what he told him? He rendered a judgment against Eli, the priest that was teaching him to be a priest. Because what Eli had done, he had let his sons. This shows you the importance of having a good parent. He had let his sons do things in the priesthood because they were priests and they extorted money from the people that came. Don't we have people in religion that extort money from people now? They say, send me $1,000. It's seed is a dollar bill. You know what the scripture tells me the seed is? It's the word of God. But these guys say, seed into this, send me $1,000. That's your seed money. God never did anything like that. Did Jesus ever do anything like that? Never. But we got these guys doing it, and they all proclaim they know God. But anyway, the deal happened. Eli's sons were fornicating with women at the altar and embezzling money from the people when they brought the offering. And so guess what? God tells this little kid, Samuel, if he asks you, tell him. And Samuel came up to him and said, don't withhold from me what God told you. Tell me what he told you. And he said, because you didn't take care of your sons, because you didn't reprimand them, because you didn't make them do what they were supposed to do that was right, he said, now there's going to be a consequence to your whole household. And both of his sons died. Very powerful, huh? And when Samuel told it to him, he said, Lord's will be done, because he knew what he had done. He knew that he had not taken care of what he had supposed to do toward his children and teach them. And they're before the people. Wow. I would hate for something like that to happen among us, to where a consequence would have to be given for people to understand that's not the way I want you to act. That's not what I want you to do. Why am I saying all that? Discerning the flesh and the will. Do you think those people were following the flesh? Most assuredly. They wanted to get rich. They wanted to satisfy lust. They wanted to do this. They wanted to do that. Just like I said, there's false teachers, false healers, false. There's so much false. But guess what? There's a real God. And I know that. And I'm going to say this. Can God heal a natural body? Most assuredly. Is that his, is that the thing that he's worried about the most? I'm going to tell you that right now. He wants to heal the sin-sick soul. He wants to heal the sickness that's here. He wants to heal that the disease that's here. I think it's Psalms 94 and 11. It says, God knows the thoughts of man, that they are vanity. And he says vanity is an evil disease. Oh, that's the disease he's talking about. And then in Isaiah chapter 1, he talks about the whole head is sick. Well, wait a minute. Why use the head? Because that's where we think. And he knew all of Israel was sick because of the leaders that were over it. He said the whole head is sick. Wow. What God wants us to understand is there's some things, diseases and sicknesses, that go way beyond what we endure here in this flesh. And they change our thinking. They change how we walk. They change our consciousness. And what God wants us to do is say, put your mind on me. Didn't he say, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus? Didn't he say, you ought to be transformed by the renewing of your mind? Isn't that what he says? Very important. God wants the mind renewed because that's where everything is. That's where your will is. That's where you say, I'm going to be obedient to God. I'm going to trust God. That's where that's going to be at. Aren't you tired of letting other things talk to you in that will and other things talk to you in that mind? Don't we say, oh, I'm tired of all those other voices. That's right. I was too. Until now I can hear a clear voice. And that clear voice tells me that there are great things that God wants to do in each and every one of us. Are we any special, more special than anybody else? No. But one thing we do have is this. We believe that God is with us. We believe that Jesus is in us, that we're sons and daughters of God. That's what we believe. And we need to be able to discern that in the wilderness. You know what that adversary is going to do? He's going to try to make you think, oh, no, you're not. You're not a son of God. You're not a daughter of God. They're going to tell you. Thoughts will come to you that will tell you that. And you're going to have to answer, aren't you? I know what my answer is. Get thee hence behind me, Satan. Because I know God has done what he's done for me. How could he change somebody like me and put me in a place like this and not have something work the way he wants it to work? I love that. It changed my whole life. And this is how I'm going to die. All the way through, I'm going to serve God until I die. This is what God wants me to do. Do I want to preach all that time? As long as I'm able. If I'm not able anymore, we got others that can do that, that can just take up where I left off. But I know one thing's for sure. I'm going to keep discerning that flesh in the wilderness. Do you realize that God actually took us out there and put us there so that we can confront these things? We have so many fears, so many things that keep us back. Sometimes it's even unbelief. Sometimes it's still a little bit of religious thought. Whatever it may be, God wants us to overcome that and be able to walk out of that wilderness free. The wilderness is there to purge us, guys. It's there to prove us. You know, we do it to gold all the time, don't we? We put fire under gold, and then the slag comes to the top. They scrape it off, and then they tell you it's 99.9% pure, right? Isn't that what they tell you? Well, didn't they try that gold by fire? Oh, they did. The silver, did they try it by fire? Yes, they did. Even the iron, the slag that they take. I want to have more, a better type of iron. Doesn't the scripture say iron sharpens iron? What is that talking about? It's talking about us being in communication with one another, learning more things about God. And as we converse about God, we both learn something. Iron sharpens iron. Isn't that a cool thing? God wants us to do that. So I love being in fellowship with people that understand God. We can talk and learn things all the time. But what God is doing, he's with every one of us, guys. He is with every one of us. And he's doing something real important for every one of us. His voice is crying out to us. His voice wants to lead us. And sometimes what happens is we don't listen. But God wants us to listen. Let me read something to you and then we'll be done. I think it's the 29th Psalm. Listen to this. Now remember, I've been talking to you about that voice of God. Listen how this starts off. It's a psalm of David. Psalm 29. Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. We ought to glorify God all the time for his word, for what he's done for us. Worship the Lord. Should we worship him? Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thundereth. Wow, I think that's powerful. The Lord is upon many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. It's telling you about this voice. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars. Yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon, a pretty strong tree, noted for being strong. But his voice can break it. He maketh them also to skip like a calf, Lebanon and Sirion like a young unicorn. The voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire. What happened on the day of Pentecost? Did it divide those tongues? It sure did. Voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness. Oh, wait a minute. Can he shake the wilderness? The Lord shaketh the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calve. Oh, in other words, those cows can bring forth calves because of his voice. They're producing after their kind. And discovereth the forest, and in his temple doth every one speak of his glory. The Lord sitteth upon the flood. Yea, the Lord sitteth king forever. He's the king forever, huh? The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. What a psalm. What a psalm. So should you listen to the voice of the Lord? It comes in many different ways. Sometimes it comes through somebody that looks like me. You know, God will give something from heaven, speak it. I don't take any credit for what's coming forth now. God will speak, give him the glory and the honor, and then we go home and all of us get blessed by it, huh? Who do you think the word comes to first? Moi. God's telling me to do this first. Before I ever say anything to you, I have to believe these things, so it comes to me first. I have to be an example. Comes to me first, Chris. I have to believe God is talking to me and giving me what I need at the time that I need it. Isn't that cool? And he's going to give you what you need at the time you need it. This is cool stuff. So what will God do? He discerns the flesh in the wilderness. He's helping you to see what you're coming against as you walk through that wilderness. He is. He's showing it to you. How do I know? Hey, stay in that word. God's going to show you this stuff all through the word of God. What did we keep telling all of you to do? Start reading. If you haven't been reading, start. Get into it. Get into the word of God. Let God start showing you things. I say the sayings of Jesus are the most powerful things in the world. Start reading those gospels. Get into it. And what God's going to do, he's going to bring it back at the time appointed. That's very powerful. He's done it to me. So if he's done it for me, he's going to do it for you. I'm not any different. This is a cool thing. God is God. He said he's the God of the whole world, right? The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. He's the God of all of it, isn't he? And I thank God because he's over this one too that's in this earth. For everything that he does, everything that he speaks, he's in charge of it. And I believe God's doing some great things through all of us. So we love you. We want to do something a little different when we end today. I want to say just a quick prayer, because a lot of us are going through some things right now. I'm thinking about Kiko. I'm thinking about Big Chris. I'm thinking about John. I'm thinking about so many in my mind right now. And my daughter, Shantae, I want to pray. My granddaughters, all of them are going through something right now. And I think Ernest mentioned his mother-in-law, right? All kinds of people going through things. Sometimes we walk through our life and we don't think or care about on the things of others. I think we need to pray about the things we hear about. I think we need to pray about people going through trial and tribulation. I really do believe that. And I believe that God's going to meet their need whatever that need is, I say, Lord, your will be done. If that means sometimes he doesn't answer the way you want him to answer, does he have a purpose behind that? Oh, didn't Paul say, Lord, I want you to heal me? And God said, nope, not going to do it. My grace is sufficient. Good example, huh? What about Job? Oh, look at all the things that happened to Job. But at the end of it, what happened? He was blessed with twice as much. Isn't that a cool thing? What if I told you it was said this morning, that's a spiritual thing. All those things that happened to Job, they were taking place in a heavenly realm. Very powerful, huh? Think about that. That is good to know. Aren't we supposed to be sitting in heavenly places than God? Yes, we are. But we don't think that way sometimes, huh? But we are. That's where we're sitting, in heavenly places, John. We're sitting in heavenly places of God. Why? Because we have a spirit. We know his word. We believe him. We trust. We're obedient. And he said, I'll put you there. No matter what's going on, I'm putting you there. And so then you just hold on to him. He said, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Guess what that rod and staff is? That's his word and his statutes and his commandments. You hold on to that, whew, he's right there with you. That's why they'll comfort you. Good stuff, huh? I like the one that says, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. All the enemies coming against you, God's preparing a table and anointing you. He's anointing you, John, right now. He's anointing you, Chris. He's bringing the oil of anointing on you and saying, I am here with you. And all your enemies can look at it and say, look, God's anointing him. Uh-oh, we're in trouble. All the enemies start to, oh, we're in trouble because he's anointing that person. Laura, he anoints you. He does that. He's looking at your heart and knows when you need that anointing at the time that's necessary. He knows that. So it's a powerful thing, huh? Very powerful. So let's say a little prayer. I'm going to end this with a prayer today. Lord God of heaven, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the wilderness, Lord God. You're proving us in it. And we want to be found faithful, not unfaithful like the children of Israel, but found faithful. We want to believe you. We want to trust you in all things. Sometimes it's tough because of the things we're going through. But Lord God, you said that you would be with us in everything, tribulation, trial, that you were going to be right there with us. I remember one time, Lord, in your word, it says if you make your bed in hell, that you were going to be there with us. And Lord God, I believe it. So we trust you, we believe you, and Lord God, we love you. And we ask you to bless everyone here, everyone going through something, bless them. Everyone in the sound of our voice, bless them and help them to believe in you because we trust you. And Lord God, we know you're able to do all things. And we thank you for what you have done, what you're doing, and what you're going to do. Thank you, Lord God. You're the great God. We appreciate you. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen.